name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic. And my sobriety date is February 11th, 2010. So coming up almost on a year. This isn't my first time in AA. It's not my first time being around this group. I took a little time off in between. I originally got sober back in 05, but I guess I'll get to that. What it was like for me, I am a real alcoholic, but I did a lot of drugs, and I'm going to talk about it. I don't really understand, like a lot of people say, I'm not, you know, outside substances, like everybody in here did them, so like, is it really an outside substance? So, you know, if you have a problem with it, sorry. I started just kind of like a lot of people that I hear, I was, you know, just smoking pot, stuff like that. I was 12, 13 years old. It wasn't really a big deal. I'd sneak off in the woods with my friends, and we'd smoke a little pot and giggle, you know, eat a bunch of food, and then go home, and there's, like, no consequences. And first time I drank, I was right around the same age, 13-ish, 12, I don't know. My sister was dating an older guy. He was in high school, and he could get beer because he had a beard and he looked older and stuff. So I remember, like, I drank a couple beers over at his house one time, and maybe two or three beers or something. I guess I was drunk. I don't know. And nothing bad happened, you know, and that's kind of the way my drinking went for a while. It started to become, like, I was really good in school, and I got good grades, and, like, school was important to me and stuff like that. And I was the youngest of three kids. I got two older sisters, and I was, like, the baby, you know, and I was always, like, I was going to be the best out of all three kids. You know, like, my oldest sister, she's weird, like, super weird. And then my middle sister, she was, like, always good in school, you know, but I was going to be better. I was going to be better than her. And I was for a while, but all that kind of stuff started to become more important. So, like, my grades would start to slip. I wouldn't do my work, you know. My mom would start to question me about it. And I was just like, hey, you know, school gets harder as you go along. I guess I've hit a wall in fifth grade, you know. Like, that's as good as it gets. So that, you know, it got more important, more important. By the time I was 16, obviously, you know, you start driving. I come from a good family. Both parents, you know, they just recently got divorced, but they were married for a while. My dad owns his own business. He makes good money. For my 16th birthday, my present was, like, a brand new Ford Explorer, and I wanted the one with the V8 because I wanted to go fast. And I had it for, like, 2 months. You know, I was just kind of a punk kid. You know, we left school one day, and the big plan was to, like, everybody throw in their $7 of lunch money and, you know, get a big bag of weed and go smoke pot at my house afterwards. And I pulled out of the parking lot. I crashed it, you know, drove through a wall, which was actually owned by a lady that worked at the school. So it was, like, super embarrassing because everybody saw me, and then I had to go deal with it the next day. And that was, like, my first real, like, consequence, like, the first time I was really in trouble. I wasn't drunk or high at the time. But that was the first time, like, that I really had a consequence of my actions. And I remember that, and I talk about it because it's, like, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, my parents took my truck away from me. That sucked. They bought me another car. It was a Ford Taurus. It was ugly. I hated it. But it still got me to where I needed to go. So, like, wasn't that big of a deal. I started to get more crazy, I guess, when I was, like, 16, 17. Started experimenting with other things. I was drinking more regularly. You know, every weekend I would go to a party. It's high school. You go to a party, you get drunk. We throw keg parties in random places and get the cops called on us. But I started, like, all my friends were just doing it, like, on the weekends. And I started doing it, like, before school and then, like, during school. And then I would just, like, not go to school and do that instead. So I started doing other things. It started off, like I said, just pot, drinking a lot. I started, I guess, experimenting with different kinds of pills, painkillers, stuff like that. That got pretty bad pretty fast. When I was 17 years old, I got kicked out of my house, and I had to go live with my friend Matt. He was like 24. Why he put up with me, I really don't know. And I went and lived with him. He actually moved out and went and lived with his girlfriend, so I was just kind of like squatting at his place. And I didn't have a job. I wasn't going to school. I had a car, so, like, I was, you know, I had something going on. And I thought, obviously, like, I can't get a job because I'm too lazy and, like, I don't wake up before noon. So I need to sell pot. Like, that's the only logical solution here. And I found a guy that would, you know, give it to me. I'd sell it and then give him the money later. And I was bad at that. Like, I just, like, it'd all be gone, and I would be short on the money. I'd be like, you know, just give me a little extra to make up for that. And, like, it just, you know, that didn't work. So then I realized, like, this, I'm not good at this. This isn't working for me. So then I was like, I need to sell pills because I don't really like them that much. I tried doing that, and I just started doing more, you know. And then I kind of realized, like, maybe this is, like, none of my friends are doing this. And I used to, like, think to myself, like, this is crazy, you know. Like, my parents, I have a good family, like, good morals, good everything, and none of my friends, like, I hang out with good people most of the time, except for when I'm doing this. It was like I had these two different lives. And I remember thinking about, like, this is really weird. Like, none of my friends are doing this. You're 17 years old. You shouldn't be experimenting with OxyContin, you know. Like, that's not normal. But I just kind of thought, like, you go through a phase, you know. Like, I'm going to go to college. And I didn't want to go to college, but I always told myself, like, you're going to go to college, and then you're just going to drink, and you're going to become, like, a normal, productive member of society, and then you're just going to, like, drink on the weekends again. Like, everything will sort itself out. You just have to go to college. But I didn't want to go. So it was, I don't know what that was about. So, I mean, it just kind of went like that for a while. Long story short was, you know, I got really bad into painkillers and drinking a lot. I was mixing different things a lot. Got physically addicted to painkillers. And I would try to detox myself, you know. And I remember the whole time, this is by the time, like, you know, 18, 19, 20-ish, I'm, like, bouncing from place to place, like, crashing on couches. Nobody really wants me. Like, my parents would take me in for a week, and they'd be like, you're the same piece of shit that you were. Get out. And I'd go crash on someone else's couch for a while. And it was just like that for a couple years. And I remember the whole time thinking, like, I just need to stop doing pills. Like, if I can just stop doing pills. And I would stop that for a while. And then I would start doing coke. And I'd be like, I need to just not do the coke. And the whole time I'm drinking, and I would get drunk, and then I would do it again. You know? And I was like, this is not, all these things are the problem. Like, the illegal things that I'm doing are the problem. It's not the drinking. Like, I never thought to look at the drinking because it's socially acceptable, whatever. But I was drinking, like, so much, you know? Like, so heavily all the time, every day. And, you know, it just kind of went like that. Finally, what happened, I had another big money-making scheme. I decided selling pot wasn't good because you had to pay for it at some point, pay someone else. So the next step up is to grow it yourself, and then you don't have to pay anybody. And I tried that. It worked well for, like, 6 months, and then I got found out and went to jail. That was the first time that I was actually in jail. And mommy and daddy bailed me out, you know, same song and dance. I got put on probation. I knew that I had to take drug tests, but I couldn't not go out and party, you know? And they told me, like, my probation officer asked me when I got put on probation if drinking was a problem. And I was like, no, you know, I drink all the time and it's never a problem. she was like, you're only 19. And I was like, yeah, but, you know, 19-year-old kids drink. And so she told me she was going to give me breathalyzers. Like, she was going to randomly come over to my house and give me breathalyzers and all that kind of stuff. I was like, that's cool, whatever. And, she never did, but I was always scared of it. And I was always wondering, she always told me she was going to come over on the weekends because that's when you party, like, that's the easiest chance you got to get busted. And I remember, like, Friday nights I would party and I would drink so much. And then I would go home thinking, like, boy, I hope my probation officer doesn't come over tomorrow because if she gives me a breathalyzer, like, I'm still going to be drunk and not going to pass. And but it wouldn't stop me. And I knew I was going to get drug tests, but that wouldn't stop me. And that's when I kind of thought, like, maybe there's something wrong here. And one day my parents decided to have an intervention on me. Well, what happened first was I tried to get off the painkillers, so I started taking methadone a lot. And I would just fall asleep randomly, like, all over the place. And my parents, like, they would freak out. They'd be, like, poking me, like, oh, you know, what's going on with you? And I was like, hey, I'm tired. Didn't sleep a lot, you know? And they came over to my house one time, and they were knocking on my door for, like, a good 20 minutes with my sister there. I wasn't waking up, and they were, like, looking in. They could see me. Like, they were looking in the window, and they could see me on the couch, and they thought I was dead, you know? And I didn't realize that at the time, but they thought I was dead. And so they did an intervention on me, sent me to treatment. I stayed sober for, like, 60 days, ate pills again, same story, you know, did the same stuff. The whole time continuously drinking. You know, I went out. After I got out, I left that rehab. I was in a halfway house for a little while. Pills were still the problem. It wasn't the drinking. I'm going to go out and celebrate my friend's birthday. We're going to drink a little bit. Well, I drank a lot more than they did. And somehow made it back to the halfway house. Like, I'm stumbling in drunk, and everybody's, like, looking at me, and I was like, I'm tired, you know? Like, nothing to see here. Go back to sleep. It's 2 a.m. What the fuck are you doing up? And they caught on, you know, I got kicked out. Same stuff, same thing over and over. Long story short, I ended up getting arrested again for something else, got put on probation, sat in jail for 3 months. And I had a bail, and mommy and daddy weren't bailing me out anymore. I didn't have any money, you know. And that was like the wake-up call, you know. I sat in jail for a while. And I got out of there, went to a six-month treatment center, met my first sponsor there. He would take me around to meetings, you know, Dave and Ryan. They would come pick us up every night, take us around. That's what introduced me to AA. And that's when I realized, like, I could stay sober. And I stayed sober for 3 years. Started dating this girl. She became more important. You all know the song and dance. Same thing, you know. Ended up not being sober anymore. And just I came back in February, basically, after we broke up. And lately for me, it's been a lot, like this time around, I should say, it's been a lot different. Because the first time I came to AA, it was like, just surround yourself, like just hide in the group. You just hide. You know, you can go, you can run around, you can do a million things, and you can just hide. It doesn't matter how unmanageable or how crazy you are if you just stay busy. Like, stay out until 3 at night drinking Red Bulls and going to all these crazy places, you know? And this time it's like, you know, I kind of feel like it's time to grow up a little bit. Like, I'm 26 years old. I'm soon to be 27. It's time to start making some adult decisions. Try to keep a job. I just quit a job right after the one-year point. And that was the first time I ever kept a job for a year, which is funny that I quit afterwards. But, you know, now, like, I'm kind of starting my own business, and it's, you know, stressful, but I'm going to make good money. I'm excited about it, you know, that kind of stuff. And I had an experience recently, like, 2 months ago, not quite 2 months ago. I went up to North Carolina for, like, a family vacation to go see my grandfather and grandpa. They live up there. And, you know, we're going to go skiing and all that kind of stuff. It's snowing. It's awesome. I love skiing. I love the snow. So we go up there, and everything is going well. And then I get a phone call. We're on our way to the ski area one morning. And I got a phone call from my mother. And she told me, you know, she was crying and stuff. And my mom was kind of whack, so she cries sometimes randomly. And I was like, eh, you know, something's going on here. But I didn't know what. And it took her a while to choke out the words. And she's like, they found Ryan dead. And Ryan's my cousin. Basically, what he was doing the same stuff I was. Got sick, dope sick, whatever. I don't know. Nobody knows what happened, but he ended up shooting himself with his brother's gun, who's my other cousin. So that hit home. That really hit home. I came back the first, you know, drove 14 hours back from North Carolina. The next day, woke up early, went to his funeral. Like, I'm looking at my cousin. He just turned 21. Like, I'm looking at him dead in a casket. Like, and then I'm looking at his brother. And his brother's sitting there staring at him. And he's crying his eyes out. And he's wondering, like, blaming himself. And then I started thinking, like, I never really talked to this kid. Ryan knew what my deal was. He knew I was sober. He knew I went through the same things that he went through. I never talked to him. I never stuck my hand out. And I never offered him help. And it ate me up for, like, a month. You know, like, it's still, like, sometimes I would think about it, I'm like, fuck, like, what if, you know? I know I don't have the power to save anybody's life. I know I'm not that powerful, but what if, you know? People did that for me. And so then, like, attention, of course, turns to his brother, because his brother's doing the same stuff. And who gets appointed man in charge, save Corey's life? Of course, it's me, because I'm the only one that's been through that in my family. I'm the only one that's sober in my family. The only alcoholic that I know of. So, you know, attention turns to me, and the whole family is coming to me, asking me, what do we do with him? You know, should we send him to rehab? Should we do this? Should we do that? And I was like, I don't know. You know, I just really don't know what to do. Let the kid make a decision. You know, ask him what he wants to do. And he said he wanted to come hang out with me for a day. So I go pick him up, and I'm talking to him, and he's got these grand plans and ideas. You know, he's got all these. I felt like I was my mother talking to me 6 or 7 years ago. And I remember thinking, like, this kid is so fucking, like, I just wanted to hit him because he's so selfish, you know? Like, I kept asking him, what's your plan? What are you going to do? All this kind of stuff. Like, your mom, she just lost her oldest son. You're the only one that she's got left. She's going through it. You know, maybe you should start thinking about not doing this anymore. And he was like, man, I'm just worried about me, bro. I'm just worried about me. And I was like, your fucking mother, you know? I wanted to hit the kid. I really wanted to hit him. And then I realized, like, that's me. You know, that was me. And then I took a step back, and it was hard because I'm close with both of them. And I took a step back and I thought about it for a minute. I was like, wow, you know, this is, I guess, you know, but for the grace of God, there goes I, you know, I'm talking to myself right now. And it was a sobering experience, I guess, for lack of a better word. It really hit home, you know. And when I lost my best friend also to the same disease a couple years back, we grew up together. It was kind of the same thing. He overdosed, but that one was tough, but it wasn't as tough because I kind of knew what was going on. This one, it's family, you know, and then you have to go through and you see your family going through it, and you go to the funeral and you see his mother, and I'm close with his mother, and I talk to her all the time, and every time I talk to her, it's the same thing. You know, you just, like, you see the pain in her eyes, and, like, I don't want to do that to my family anymore, you know. Like, I stay sober for me, but I still have thoughts, you know. I still have crazy thoughts, and I have in the past. Like, I just don't want to put my family through that, you know, because they, truth of the matter is, that could have been me 8 years ago, and they could have been going through that exact same thing because of me. Unfortunately, it happened to him. It didn't happen to me. I'm grateful that I'm still here, but, you know, that's pretty much, I'm kind of over the time here, but, you know, that's, the disease is powerful, you know, and sometimes people don't give it credit, I guess, and people underestimate what this can do. And sometimes when it hits home like that, it really, you know, it's an eye-opener. So, I don't know. Thanks for asking me to speak. That's it.